the father of Cubism. Good morning. This morning, we are very lucky to get TJ on the air. And TJ Norris is here this morning to tell us about his wonderful exhibition that he has where is it, TJ, again?
It's at the New American Art Union.
Yes, and do you want to say something about the American Art Union, the times, and a little introduction to that?
Yeah, sure. First, I want to say thank you for having me, and even though I haven't had my coffee yet this morning, I am ready to go.
We'll see that you get your coffee a little later, okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
The New American Art Union is right here in the southeast central east side industrial district. It's part of both the First Thursday and First Friday programs.
It's in our backyard.
It's right here behind the Doug Fir and the Jupiter Hotel.
Yes, and it's a very appealing show, and we've got the guy that done it right here before us, and we're going to learn all about it because it's different and it's special. This is really special, and it's quite an experience. You walk into the art, and that's very important. And it's dark, and it surrounds you. And I read a little blurb that said it's Infinitus, a multimedia video lounge, creator of a future landscape of a seamless urban world intent on replacing the fragile world of nature. I thought that was good. Did you like that?
Yeah, well, it's the show is based on pretty much my experience of living in cities that are continuously undergoing change, cities that basically have a complete remake over, a facelift or whatever you want to call it, over years. And then by the time the gentrification is complete, what you end up with is almost like I like to refer to, or I used this quote from a Pretenders song, "My city was gone." So at the end of the process, you are looking at a completely different place altogether. So it's a little bit of what I think about when I create my work, at least for this series, are things like mirages, things like dreams, things like, you know, sort of something that is parallel to our universe, something that we can't physically see. It's not something that is, it might be something microscopic, it might be something, you know, beyond the human perspective.
Okay. Now, what is it when we walk into the dark and then there are what appear to be beds lined up in a very tidy row? And they're wooden beds and room for your body.
Yes.
And you fit yourself into one of those beds and look up at the ceiling.
Yes.
And there's just a moving movie and music that takes place in the ceiling. And my thinking was, this is structured, beautifully structured. And this took a lot of building.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us how you conceived of the building? How many did you have to draw pictures of it for your workers? How many workers? Tell us something about the construction.
Yeah, actually, what I can say is that, first of all, this exhibition is the third part of a three-part installation cycle. So this is the finale. So I can finally take my hat off. I started the show with an exhibition in 2002, and then I had a follow-up in 2005, and then this is the final of the three. So I've been working on this show all along during those years, on and off.
And for years?
Yeah, okay. It's several years in progress. At least I can say the concept was the physical construction of the exhibition came from working with craftspeople in the area who work primarily in wood shops, or I worked with someone who creates awnings for RVs. And that's who helped me create the actual screen that, that is above the lounges that you lie on in the exhibition.
So it was set up somewhere else, or a few somewhere else's?
Yes.
Before it finally came to the backyard of KABU?
Yes. Uh-huh. I had three fabricators who each created a portion of the show. That I designed the, like, for instance, the city that's backlit in the very rear of the gallery. That's a drawing that I created based on a poster that I had, a rock music poster. And
a what poster?
Rock music.
Oh, rock music. Yeah, okay. Do you want to name those people, or would you rather not?
No, I'm happy to.
Yeah, because they deserve some recognition,
absolutely.
I think.
My hats go off to Christopher Brown. Helped me build the lounges, and he's quite a craftsperson and knows how to work with wood and knows how to change and be flexible in the moment as things change. Basically, when I was building the show, it was all built on a grid and all built to this rectangle size of the space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked with Diedrich Dasselbrot, and he is a photographer and also a woodworker, and he helped me make the cityscape. And then finally, I worked with Todd Payton, who does a sunscreen company in Portland, and it is not in the arts at all. And I oftentimes work with people who aren't in the arts to help me create my work.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to get opinions from them in process, isn't it? People that don't know quite so much.
Absolutely.
Because that's the kind of people who are going to come to the opening.
Yeah.
And so forth. What happened at the opening? Because I want to get, if I can, I want to get the structure up so my audience can experience it with you and me talking.
Okay.
The description.
No, that's fantastic.
Because it's in the sky.
Yeah, the what you see in the gallery is a 71 minute continuous projection. So it runs during all gallery hours on a continuous loop.
Uh-huh.
And to create that, I had to go out into Portland on two extremely rainy days, and got really sick with a bad cold and flu after that experience. But I shot probably about 8 hours of footage to edit down to that 71 minutes. And the night of the opening was fantastic because I wasn't exactly sure how this particular exhibition would work in the context of a typical art opening. As the room is dark, there's was no place to actually put drinks, etc. And I didn't want to be hiding in the dark to receive my guests, so I stood in the office of the gallery, and it was wonderful because I got to see people's expressions as they emerged out of the curtain from the exhibit. So actually, you know, it's funny. I got a lot of reactions, and they ran from. One of the comments that I got, one of the most endearing comments, was a woman equated my work with Jean-Paul Sartre, which I was very moved by the fact that she would make that sort of connection. And someone else reminded me that it was something out of Soylent Green for them, the film with Charlton Heston. So it was quite exciting type of experience to see all those types of comments. And, wow, I'm getting coffee at this time, so this is fantastic.
Yes.
Wow. This is a full-service radio station.
We're good to our guests, especially those who put water in ceilings and cars, the noise of cars and cars themselves passing forever.
Well, one of the things I want to talk to you about is the composer that I commissioned for the show.
Yes.
One of the other people that helped me with the show is a gentleman named Bobby Jones, who runs Puddle Productions here in Portland.
Uh-huh.
And he helped me with making sure that the sound would be appropriate for the space. So he worked with making sure that all the audio-video elements went appropriately for the audience so that it wouldn't stop in the middle of the day, and so that the sound level was just right enough that when you lay down in the lounges, you actually feel it in your body. So that was something I really wanted, and he helped me out a lot with that.
Wow. Well, I went in there all by myself and lay down and watched the whole thing.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're one of the few that actually sat through.
Well, I needed to do that, but I was the only person there except for what's the name of the woman who owns the gallery?
Oh, that's Ruth Ann Brown.
Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann was in the outer room.
Okay.
But here was the water and the cars and all this, what was part of Portland, Oregon, rising above me. And the music, there's a music, and the sound is very, puts you very much in the mood of what you're looking at.
Yeah, actually, mm-hmm. In terms of the sound, the composer Christian Renew, who I commissioned for this, I first connected with him in 2001, 2002, and he agreed to include a track on a compilation CD that I was building for this show. And I brought that along with me today, if you want to listen to a short clip of that.
We do.
Okay.
We're going to put that on right now. Emily is going to work on it. She's my trusty Is it
playing?
I don't. Yes. Put the.
It's a quite an ambient piece, so it takes takes a few moments before it kind of warms up and has a sense of volume, as it does in the space.
Yeah.
And it's part of why I decided to work with Christian Renew is that he creates these pieces where he goes out into the city, out into different locations, and he records the sound, which he calls field recordings.
Field recording, okay.
And then which is sort of an art form in and of itself,
okay.
and then he takes that into the studio and then mixes it, and then what ends up coming from that are tracks that usually are recorded for albums, but this one he recorded exclusively for this installation.
Okay, and now we are lying on our backs,
yep.
Looking at the ceiling. Where the movie is taking place and all the drama is happening up there.
Yes.
And the music is around us. So, audience, come out of the kitchen and listen to this. I always envision people sort of walking around and doing their morning chores.
Oh, that's great.
And this will take them to another world, and it does take you to another world. It takes you to entirely different spaces, and the spaces change, not quickly, and not with any particular loud noises or bashing about, and you just lie there and enjoy the sequence of the city to start with, and then... What it lasts for how long, DJ?
The entire cycle is 71 minutes,
mm-hmm.
And the composer that I worked with, we've actually never physically met, so our collaboration is completely virtual, but we've had.
Last time I talked to you, you involved people that you've never met.
That's right.
From around the world.
That's right. And this gentleman's from France, and it was we just have sort of a synergy between the tonality in our work.
Uh-huh.
So when I heard the piece back in 02 when he first recorded it, it had a certain something that I realized was much larger. So it took me this many years to get to the point where I could actually say, I'm going to build something that has a very specific length, and I'm going to ask him to create something that is the same length. Mm-hmm. So he basically created something that's almost the exact size of a full-length CD of music, and then I created my video after listening to it. I didn't create it as I was listening to it, but I created it specifically for that same length, and then that's what I ended up kind of putting together at the gallery. Mm-hmm. And I run the video twice, so it's you can see it upside down as well as straight on. So, but as you might have noticed in the gallery, the projections that are on the ceiling,
yes,
are sort of they have a little bit of a tilt.
Yes, they do.
So
I noticed that.
That's actually called keystoning, and you can
keystoning,
and you can control it with the DVD player and your projector, and it's kind of a wonderful combination of things. So I think that it's pretty much one of those types of motifs that I repeat both in the video as well as through the gallery, in the lounges, and also with the signage that's in the very front as you walk through.
Okay. Now, TJ, we're going to have to identify once again, let's say, where it is, and if you would do that,
absolutely,
please, and name a few names.
Sure.
Because we have some listeners who need to have more information.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. The gallery is the New American Art Union. It's located at 922 Southeast Ankeny Street at Southeast 10th. And their gallery hours, this is the last week of the show, so it runs from today through Sunday. And the gallery hours are 12 to 6. So anytime 12 to 6, today through Sunday, you can stop in to see the show. The gallery director is Ruth Ann Brown. And this show is one of 10 shows that are part of a series called Couture.
Okay.
And what happened was... Ruth Ann Brown offered, she put a call for entries out to the public for artists to submit proposals, and then she selected 10 out of, I'm not exactly sure how many she received, it was over 100, from different parts of the United States, and she gave us each $8,000 to create this exhibition sort of with that budget, and it was kind of an honor.
Yes, I should say, and you were chosen among those, and so where are you in the sequence?
I am the second of 10.
The second of 10?
Second of 10. There's several yet to come. The next exhibition opens the beginning of July, and it's Jacqueline Ailis. She's a painter.
Okay, now Ruth Ann has different hours than most galleries. Do you know what those are? Can you say those again?
Absolutely. The hours for the gallery are Thursday through Sunday, 12 to 6 p.m. And she's also open on first Thursday and first Friday evenings for the opening receptions, and also for the the public art walk.
Okay. And this gallery is on Ankeny Street, and it's a block and a half behind KBOO. So if you get on Ankeny and you're going east, and it's on the right-hand side, and it's tucked in, isn't it?
Absolutely is.
And you part of your... experience is to find it.
it's pretty easy because it's directly it is tucked in, and there it is tree lined. So, but there is a huge wooden sign that says the letters NAAU, which the gallery has become fondly known as. Some people call the gallery
now.
it's kind of fitting.
Yeah. And so there'll be bunches of people pouring in after this interview.
We had a lot of folks come for the opening. It was probably over 200 folks, and then over the course of the last 6 weeks, each of these shows run for 6 weeks, and there've been several folks, friends, colleagues, curators who've gone over to see the exhibition, and there'll actually be a review that comes out of Art Limited in the July issue in regards to the show. So I'm kind of excited to receive a little bit of national press on
the
show.
That's great. Yeah. You may have to structure this somewhere else a few times, do you suppose?
Well, as I might have mentioned...
You take all your guys with you?
Yeah, well, I mentioned to you that I was just in Los Angeles last week.
Yes.
And I was there specifically to talk with some galleries about this new work.
Uh-huh.
And met with some really wonderful people, discovered Culver City, which is sort of my favorite little nook, and had some really honestly straightforward conversations about the business of the arts, and realized that I'm in that position right now to emerge outside of my region.
You're going to be one of the kings of the new art scene.
That has a nice ring to it.
Do you like that?
Yes.
Well, you've been working on that for quite a while, and you deserve to be the king of the new art scene because you've put a lot of work and a lot of intelligence, a certain kind of intelligence that works for the curiosity of most American people.
Well, as long as I don't have to wear a crown and robe, I'm fine. You know, I just want to be pretty comfy.
No roses?
And dressed down.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of something with a ring to it, do you think that we could listen to a clip from that second CD that I brought in?
Yes, we can, because I have Emily in there who's going to do that for us.
Okay. I just want to let listeners hear like a small clip, and I'll explain it.
Okay, listeners. Beautiful.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
That's, well...
How did you get the music?
Well, that right there comes from a CD called TriMix. And it was originally, back in 2003, we put out a CD called Tribrid, which was my installation soundtracks. Prior to the installations actually occurring, I wanted the public to hear the sounds that I was going to use to build these installation projects around. And the original track that I used is Christian Renew's Land of Confusion, which is heard in the gallery on a 71-minute loop. And then what we just heard, that clip, that was the same track, and then it was remixed by an artist who goes by the name Mokira, and he's from Sweden. His real name is Andreas Tilliander, and so he took the track and made a shorter version and basically added his own sound loops.
Okay. Now, could you go over the sequences of what happens in 71 minutes, what we look at, and where we are, and describe how we look and where we're looking? And
sure, absolutely.
So it's dark
to begin with. Yeah, the space is meant to be almost, sort of light tight. So I basically didn't want there to be any outside light coming into the space. So I did the best that I could. I worked with some wonderful folks in town, Northwest Sun Solutions, who helped me to darken the space.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what you're looking at is a sequence of images that I shot in and around exclusively in Portland, and on a typical Portland gray, somewhat slightly misty day. It was a perfect day for me to be out there, despite the fact that I didn't feel so well afterwards. But I felt like I captured a spirit of the place.
Why didn't you feel so well? Did it make you tired?
Or? No, I got a bad cold after it was raining on my head for two and a half hours here and there.
Yeah.
But basically, what you're looking at are images of like a moving city and a still city. So you're looking at traffic that's moving in both directions. So there's something about the simultaneousness of direction,
okay,
of movement in the city, and also you're looking at some vestiges of like the old bits of the city. So you know there are parts of the city where there are, you know, chain link fences, and if you look at certain things in a certain way, you'll see like some change and some things that you might ordinarily think are a little bit harsh, but if you look close enough, you'll see the beauty in that harshness. So I like to kind of, you know, look at that a little bit more closely.
T.J. Norris has been here this morning. He's still here, and we've collected from him a lot of news about his grand work of art. Really fabulous work of art.
Thank you.
And it's right in our backyard. And would you give the address one more time?
Absolutely.
Because I don't remember address
as well. I just want to mention just one other thing as well. Sure. Infinitus is at the New American Art Union, which is 922 Southeast Ankeny Street. And it'll be open Thursday through Sunday from 12 to 6. And the other thing I wanted to mention was in July, I'm curating an exhibition for New Space Center for Photography. And that will be their 2008 juried exhibition, and it opens on July 11th from 7 to 10. It has 37 international artists who work in the area of contemporary photography.
Okay, we will see that you get a wide audience.
Thank you.
Yes, and just send us the news, and we'll put it out there for you.
Can I also just say thank you for offering this forum to Portland for artists to speak about their work? It's really a pleasure.
Thank you, TJ. It's been great to see you again.
It's been great.
We look forward to the next event.
Thank you, Julie.
And this is Judy Bernard and Art Focus. And thank you, Emily, also.
I'm Chris Andre. Join me and a diverse group of activists, engineers, and policymakers this coming Monday, June 23rd at 10:30 a.m. for an LNG forum on Get This. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I'm going to play that again. Anything worth saying is worth saying twice.
That's right. You just heard Pipeline by Dick Dale, the king of the surf guitar. Here at KABU, we've been covering the liquefied natural gas saga for so long now that we have LNG theme music. I'm Chris Andre. Join me and a diverse group of activists, engineers, and policymakers this coming Monday, June 23rd at 10:30 a.m. for an LNG forum on Get This. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Just wanted to make sure that got out there. And now stay tuned for Democracy Now! This is KBOO Portland, listener-sponsored radio. If you're listening online, click join now.